Now that we went this way, am I perfectly in everybody's way? Pretty much. Let's do something a little different tonight. Does that work for everybody? Better? Okay, looking again at the dispersion. One more look at it. Last week, we looked at the dispersion of, who remembers which side of Noah's family we looked at last week? Japheth, that's correct. All right, take your Bibles this evening. Turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And we want to look at, to begin with, the prophecy, the curse and blessing Noah gave to his sons. And we're going to look tonight a little bit about how it has affected world history. Again, remember, the whole reason we started this is how does the Bible parallel with world history? We see here Noah's words to his sons has affected everything in the course of history since the flood. We're going to look at that this evening in a little bit as we look at the dispersion of the other two sons. So Genesis chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse 19. These are the three, let's back up to verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. And these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan. The servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this evening. Thank you that it is true, and thank you that you honor the words of your servants, and Lord, that you place words in their mouths as well. Thank you that it is the inspired word, and it has been proven by your hand through the ages. As we look this evening to look again at the parallels of history, pray that you'd open our eyes and our understanding that we might grow in faith and obedience to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here we see Ham received a curse and his family through it, specifically Canaan, but all of the family of Ham received this curse. And he says multiple times, Ham's family would be the servants of the families of Shem and Japheth. We see here, I'm going to back up just a little bit in reference to last week. In verse 27, he said, "God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Now, modern day equality people don't like this passage, okay? And I'm not saying that this passage makes right what has gone on through history. What I am saying is it quantifies it. It proves it. It shows that God's word is true and that God honors the word of faithful men. Japheth was enlarged. We looked last week how Japheth, his family, went from the area of Baghdad, of where Babylon was, and they went on up through settled Turkey, and they went up north through Azerbaijan into Europe that way. And then they went over through Greece and into Europe that way. And We know more modern history, how it is Europeans who have gone and conquered the world as we know it today. They've, even today, people talk about the influence of Western culture. And everybody looks at Americans and say, well, we're the influence of Western culture. And they don't stop to remember that Western culture is European culture. We're influenced by it. And they're the ones that really influenced the entire world at one point. When settlers came over from England, what did they do? But they took over from the natives. They took over the people who dwelt in tents. It says, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. What we're going to see today is it's the family of Shem who went up through Russia and into North America. At a later point, Japheth, being enlarged, goes and takes over the tents of Shem. It's very interesting when we see that. Ham was cursed as the servant of the nations. Think about it. All of world history, this area, even today, is continually feuding with each other and taking slaves of each other. That's what they do. That's part of their culture. This tribe attacks that tribe and takes these slaves and so on and so forth, back and forth. In Africa, before white people, if you want to say, took any slaves out of there, guess what? They took slaves of each other. It was the same thing. They were feuding. They were taking slaves of each other. Slavery out of this area of the southern hemisphere has been the way it was ever since the time of the Tower of Babel. It's a curse that was placed on them. Doesn't make it right, but what Ham did wasn't right either. And it was a curse that was passed on to his family. Now, there's a lesson here, kids. When you do something wrong, when you commit a sin, and then you, especially when you go laugh about it with others, that wasn't so bad. God does not agree. Sin bringeth forth death. It has consequences. Not just for you, but consequences for people around you. Consequences for your family that you don't even have yet. Consequences down the road throughout history. Here we are a couple thousand years later. Pushing 4,000 years later. And the family of Ham still faces the consequences of his sin. Shem, it says that he would be blessed. It says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Notice, he doesn't say that about Japheth or Ham. Japheth was a blessed son, but it doesn't say, blessed be the Lord God. With the family of Shem, we have Israel, God's chosen people. We have other nations who have been more prone to be religious. Not always following God, but the Semitic people, you know, in world history are more prone to be religious, to follow a God, than Japheth. They were the family of Japheth. They were they followed a plethora of gods. You look at Greeks and all their gods. You look at the Romans and all their gods. You look at the Norsk and all their gods. They followed whatever they wanted to make a god. You look at Africa, at India, in the southern hemisphere in this area, and they're very much afraid of spirits, and they make everything a god. You look at Hinduism, and they've got a god for everything. They've got a god for the water that comes out of the tap. They've got a god for the rain. They've got a god for feeling happy. They've got a god for feeling sad. You look at Africa, and it's all about the spirits of the woods, the spirits of the animals, so on and so forth. It was is something that has affected their entire nations that came from them, even till today. So let's look here specifically at how the families of Ham and Shem dispersed through the earth. We have, again, Baghdad was the area of Babylon, the Tower of Babel. And from here, the sons of Ham settled the Asian and African southern hemispheres. So if you made a line right through here and went south, that's where the sons of Ham went. Next slide here. And these particular lines are kind of the initial way of travel. There should have been one more line here. I'm sorry. So the sons of Nimrod, he was the son of Cush, who was the son of Ham. Nimrod stayed in the area of Babylon. He built Babylon around the Tower of Babel. He stayed there, and his city became an empire. And we see the Babylonians through a period of history. Cush himself, so Nimrod's father, he went this way, all the way down here into Ethiopia. And he established quite an empire here. In fact, in old history, you find this area called the Kingdom of Cush. For a long time, it was known as Cush's place. Excuse me. It was later in history, not too long before the time of Christ, that it became settled in being called Ethiopia. Now, the word Ethiopia, I don't exactly know how, but it is a translation of one of the names of Cush. Now, Mizraim, another son of Ham, went down to Egypt. So he was going along probably with Cush, and he stopped here, and he built Thebes of Egypt. Today, Thebes is still a very important city in Egypt. Egyptians still recognize that Thebes is the birthplace of their culture, of their country, of their people. The Bible says specifically that Mizraim built Thebes. Put, however you want to say his name, he settled in Libya over here. So you have three of the sons of Ham settling in this area here, and their people moving this way, and we'll also see how their people moved this way. Canaan, he stayed close by. He's the father of the Canaanites and also the Phoenicians. And so he stayed in this area here. You'll remember from the Bible that the Israelites pushed out the Canaanites. So the family of Canaan, that was specifically cursed here. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Remember, Canaan was expelled by Israel when they returned to the promised land. But they were not annihilated. There was the Jebusites and a few others that became servants of Israel. They became tributaries. Now, and the Phoenicians were just north of here, and their main cities being Tyre and Sidon. And Tyre and Sidon remained for a long time playing a key part of history. Next slide. We're going to go this way to India here. Now, India has a very interesting history. Armenian tradition tells that Noah gave this area to Ham for an inheritance. Gave him Africa and India, the southern hemisphere in that time. Now, the people of Ham, it was not necessarily one son that went that way. As we just looked at Phut went to Libya, Cush went down to Ethiopia, Mizraim went to Egypt, and Canaan stayed right up there as well. So how did people get this way if it's the family of Ham? For a long time, the Himalayan region, which is up here, was known as Hindu Kush. Notice whose name that is. Hindu Kush. If you go on Google and you look up where is Hindu Kush, it will still highlight a section of the map between here and Iran that is called Hindu Kush. Why is that? Because Kush's people also went this way. He went down and he established the kingdom of Ethiopia, or the kingdom of Kush, and they became an empire very quickly. They were men of conquest. They went and they attacked other places and they asserted themselves. So they also went back this way and had enough influence that the area became called Hindu Kush. They went down into India, and Indian rulers were known as Rajas. Who here has heard of a Raja? Okay, the old way of saying a Raja is Rajput. Notice whose name that is. Put. So his people also came back into India. And a Raja or a Rajput, whichever way you say it, means chief of Put. So their kings, the warrior kings of the old India, were called chief men of Put. They were the conquestors. They came in, and whether they established the area or whether they took it from other smaller families that went in and settled, they were known as the warrior kings. And then the Indus Valley, which is up here, so again, the top area, more Asiatic, was settled by Ophir. He was the great-great-grandson of Shem. And we have that in the Bible. We see him several times. So he settled in the Indus Valley, which is around Delhi today. Next slide. Okay. Now, if you look up, if you're thinking about a bigger map, you would come down from India into Malaysia and Indonesia and into Papua New Guinea and Australia. Ethiopians are, as we said already, they're known to have been early conquerors. The dark-skinned men of Kush not only covers Africa and infiltrates India, but when you look at the aborigines of these nations, of these land areas, I should say, what color of skin are they? They're black. They're as black as the Africans. So the men of Kush went back on through and came on down here into Australia. Next slide. All right, now let's look at the sons of Shem. They're known as Semitic people. It's kind of funny to me when people talk about anti-Semitism, they're talking about anything said against the Jews. But if you look at history, if you just type Semitic in Google and look for the definition, it talks about way more than just the Israelite people. So it's one of those things that's been twisted by media, twisted by our culture. Semitic people, you notice how it starts with Sem. It just means people of Shem. So whether people want to or not, when they talk about Semitic people or anti-Semitic, they're referencing the Bible, people of Shem. Elam, one of his sons, was the father of the Persians. We know a lot in history about the Persian Empire. They came from Elam. Then Asher was the son of the Assyrians. We hear a lot about the Assyrian empires and the effect that they had on history. Asher was the son of Shem. These empires, they started around the area of Syria. So we have Baghdad down here, where Babel had been. And they settled in this area. Now, you remember from last week, the sons of Japheth went this way and this way. There was a lot of settling in this area, all around the mountains of Ararat.
But the empires of the Persians and the Syrians, and the Syrians as well, you look through history and they grew. They were also men of conquest. So they spread out throughout Asia. Lud was the father of the Lydians, who would have also been in about this area. But under the Roman Empire, the people of Lydia became known as Asia. And now we call all of this area Asia, as it is the same family group. Aram was the father of Syria, and we still have the land of Syria today. They're one of the lands that has continued ever since, basically at the time of Noah. No change of name whatsoever. The borders have changed, obviously. Then we have Arphaxad. He was the great-great-grandfather of Abraham. And Abraham fathered both Israel and the Arabs. So we have them down here, and that's kind of off the map. I couldn't get enough of it on here. So we have Abraham as the father of Israel and the Arabs. Arabs are from, who wants to tell me? How is Abraham the father of the Arabs? The Ishmaelites, that's right. Ishmaelites became known today as the Arab nations. All right, next slide. So you're still thinking, well, how did people get over to Canada, United States, Mexico, and on around to South America? These, again, are Semitic people. Geology and archaeology prove that they would have come up through Asia to this area, which is called the Bering Strait. And it's this little blip is only 51 miles in width. It's not very far. Just to give you a picture in your mind, Portland is 57 miles by the road. So if you were going to drive across this, it would take you just a little bit less time than it takes to get from here to Portland. Think about that. That little blip of water isn't that much. Now, there's some theories that there used to be a land bridge here, that there actually was not water all the way through at one point. Now, some people say that. Some people say that they built boats and went across. Doesn't really matter. The archaeological evidence shows that the people here came from here and before 1000 AD. So over 1,000 years ago, people crossed in this area, and they would have been the sons of Shem, because that's who's here. And when you look at native peoples, Native Americans, all the Indian tribes, you get a Chinese person next to them or close by, they look pretty similar, don't they? They're not identical, but they look a lot closer to a Chinese or Japanese than they do to a white person or to a black person or to an Aborigine, because they share the same bloodlines, they share the same characteristics, they share the same gene pool that of Shem. If you look at the stories of the main tribes, of the main Native American tribes, and even the main South American tribes, they all have stories about how they go back to a certain point in time, and a lot of them go back to a flood story, as we looked at a couple weeks ago. And they tell how their people spread out from there. I don't remember which tribe. I should have looked it up again. But the one tribe we referenced told about their flood story is how there was this family that got in the boat, and they were saved from the flood. And then when the boat landed, they went out on the land, and they started to explore and settle as the land rose out of the water. Remember that? Do you kids remember that? I'm not saying it exactly, because I didn't reference it before starting tonight, but excuse me. So people that were here and people that are in South America, their cultural stories, their stories from way, way, way back, even though they didn't have a Bible where you and I learn about it from, they had stories passed down from generation to generation, exactly what happened back around Babel. Noah's Ark lands on the mountains of Ararat. As the waters recede, we see they made their way down and settled in the Mesopotamian Valley. And then after the Tower of Babel, they dispersed. The sons of Shem coming. And another interesting thing is, all these people here, when white people came over, they're all dwellers in tents. Again, shows you what the Bible says. Japheth would enlarge his land into Shem's land, the dwellers in tents. That's just another way. The Bible holds true all through history, whether the people affected by it acknowledge the Bible or not. So that's how, if you're wondering, how did people get here before Columbus crossed? How did people get to Australia before the British landed? You can see, when you study history and you say, oh, Ethiopians were conquerors. They didn't really care where they're going. They're just going. Noah said, you guys have the southern hemisphere on this side. And they took it. They didn't have to necessarily conquer from other people. Okay? This is one place where we got to wrap our minds around. With the early people after the flood, they had to conquer the land more than they had to conquer other people. Yes, there was fighting between tribes, between families, as they grew and as they spread out. But they had to conquer the land more than they had to conquer people. And then we see the sons of Shem, they spread out. And they just kept spreading and spreading and spreading until they went on across here, whether it was by land or by boat. Either way, this is not a big stretch. And there is evidence of the crossing. And from there, even the native stories talk about them coming from the north and spreading, going on down through the Americas. It's all there in cultural history. It's easy to see. Now, after this time, we really don't have a whole lot other than their cultural stories about this area. They just kind of went off and they did their own thing. Most history as we know it, and we look at history books and we read about the known world, the world that was influenced by the Mesopotamian Crescent, really. You have Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they go out. And then you also notice it. Let's go back one slide. Can you, Missy? Yeah, right in there. That's good. So remembering from last week and this week, how most of the people all stayed in this area. You had some that ventured further. You like Japheth went clear over to Greece. Maybe he was like Daniel Boone. We had Cush that went clear down to Ethiopia. Maybe he had Daniel Boone type characteristics. We have a few guys that go clear down into India. But as far as right after the immediate family of Noah and the early nations that were established, they all stick around here. Which is another indicator of why most of history sticks around here. It revolves around the battles, around the development of sciences and knowledge and so forth. All in this area. Because the Bible tells us Noah survived the flood with three sons. And those three sons, it says specifically what areas they settled. Again, history proves the Bible and vice versa. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that
we can see its truth by looking all over the world, whether it's at the natives of this land or whether it's at the conquest of the Middle East throughout history as we know it, or whether it's the growth and the changes throughout Europe or Africa. All these things point back to your word, that your word is faithful and true. We thank you for that, and we pray that, again, you would help us to give especially these young people a foundation of knowledge and truth, and for the adults, Lord, that we would continue to be able to expand our foundation and also to have the boldness to share with others that your word is true. Thus, your salvation is necessary and the judgment is real. Lord, we thank you for extending to us salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.